So to start us out, would you mind telling us your name, where it is that you live, and what you consider to be your faith community?
So my name is Mark Schmidt. I live in Edmonds, Washington, and Trinity Lutheran Church is my current faith community.
Tell me some about your growing up, the family that you lived mm-hmm. in, what those adults did, and what life was like for you.
So I grew up the son and the grandson of Lutheran ministers, and I guess a lot of my early formative years were in the context of big church families. Both of them grew up as, you know, my dad is one of eight, my grandfather is one of 11, huge extended families, many deeply engaged in the Lutheran church in one way or another. My father started as a parish pastor, then became a hospital chaplain, a prison chaplain for a while, and then again a hospital chaplain. And a lot of my growing up experience, I guess, was in a variety of these different faith contexts. And I still have some really vivid memories of my father preaching to people in the hospital on Christmas Eve. And I have even more vivid memories maybe of going with my father to worship on Sunday mornings out at the prison, trying to understand how it would be that these women in this prison could experience so much joy in the worship. There was certainly pain and grief, but also deep joy. And I remember just kind of wrestling with how could that be. Others in my family were preachers and teachers and counselors, and I'm the only engineer. It was, I guess, a funny side thing of that was that it was because I grew up in such a kind of a rich extended family with a variety of different faith experiences, it wasn't really until I was in college and out on my own that I had to kind of find faith on my own, that I kind of rode with the family experience until after my parents divorced while I was in high school, and then I went off onto college, and it was really kind of those combinations of experience that kind of pushed me out the door and kind of forced me to begin to figure some things out on my own. And so I kind of leapt, I think, from maybe some of those early formative years, kind of cornerstones of my faith, into more of a curiosity phase where in the context of the university, I explored all that they had to offer, and sometimes I worshiped and sometimes I didn't, and I was, seeking through experience and trying to figure out who I was for a number of years, and then went off and worked for several years, and then took about 3 years off to come and be in this community at Holden Village. And I think kind of from cornerstone to curiosity to community, I went into community wide-eyed, thinking that we would all kind of think alike and worship alike and share some common experiences, which we did largely. But it was also kind of a real, I think, a faith awakening to realize that the people in community are real people, that there is conflict and there is concern and there's brokenness and there's hurt and there's great joy and there's beauty and there's brilliance, all wrapped up in a tight community experience. And then I went off after leaving Holden back into a professional career, but I got married. I met my wife through this community experience here at Holden, and got married and began to form my own family and my own community. I now have 3 daughters. And I think it's somewhere between now the community that I experience at my parish, in our congregation, as well as, just kind of the continual growth with my own wife and my family that has kind of led me now to this longer term exploration of calling and what is my place in the world and how do we fit into all of this. But like any good life lesson too, it's not really linear. I'm an engineer. Things aren't that simple though. That really curiosity feeding into community and calling, what is my place, leads right back into deeper curiosity and where am I going, and a deeper calling into community and how might I serve in my own congregation as well as in my own family and in my own day-to-day work.
You've answered several of the questions that I had in mind to ask you, so thank you for anticipating my questions and answering them for me. I am a little bit curious about your growing up in this family that you describe and becoming the only engineer. As a kid, what do you remember imagining what you would be and do?
No, I don't. I don't think I just woke up one day to think that I would be an engineer. I always liked to play with things. I was the guy that, I had millions of Legos and Tinker Toys and Erector sets. I think when I was probably 10 or 11, somebody gave me an engine and I took every single piece apart and tried to put it all together again. And so I think by behavior, people kind of guided me to say that you have some of these skills and this might be an interesting thing for you mm-hmm. to do. But I don't. I still have many, many images of deep admiration for watching my grandfather preach and just kind of watching how he could kind of move people and move a congregation. I have, you know, many memories. I can still just remember snippets of sermons from that my father had given that I just thought were particularly whimsical or clever or something, you know, and I don't know, I guess a piece of, if my wife were here, she'd tell you that a piece of unfinished business in my own life is, you know, yeah, what are you going to do with that calling inside yourself? Mm. You know, that I think there is a piece of me that loves how things work and solving problems and, you know, which lends itself well to being an engineer. But there's also, you know, a big piece of living out a life of faith and, you know, working with other people in the context of people all discovering their faith journeys and how do we kind of guide each other along. And
when did you come to the conclusion that engineering was a good fit?
I was largely guided through high school that direction. And when I went off to college, I intentionally went into an engineering program, a dual degree engineering program. So I spent 3 years at PLU and then 2 years at Columbia University. And ended up with two bachelor's degrees, one a more liberal arts degree, one a technical engineering degree. And I guess that just made sense to me because I particularly enjoyed those PLU years, the variety of different classes, the context of that particular community. But I always kind of had in the back of my mind, I guess, that the practical thing that I had figured out in high school or that people had kind of coached me to do all along made sense, and the way to get there was to finish up that engineering degree. So off to an engineering school I went.
Do you have any vivid memories of thinking, I'll never do that?
I guess I don't remember. A lot of life feels like I've had all these happy accidents. I've just kind of had a general sense that go left and not go right, and things have always just kind of worked out well, but I haven't.
Which brings me to a related question. Have you been able to identify God's presence in that journey and those happy accidents and those
people? Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. In ways that I never anticipated, right? So certainly in community experiences here at the Village, so there were some times that were fantastic highs. Being here during the early days of discovery and development of Prayer Around the Cross, and you know, and just, you know, with these people coming in from the Iona community and Taizé Chants, and being here with really gifted musicians and leaders and pulling all that stuff together, and just catastrophic experiences as well. A teenage suicide one night in February in the Village, a couple of really serious accidents and injuries and broken families. And you know, and I think what it did was, for me, I think sometimes when I'm at my most raw, sometimes I'm also the most open. You know, I think open to the need for God, you know, kind of maybe better at listening. And I think there were some of those experiences that just kind of opened me up to be raw and vulnerable and to listen for God. And so then it just, you know, all these experiences, I think, through especially raising kids, you know, you see God all the time. You see God when the first leg comes out through the C-section, right? Or, you know, in all the subsequent births, you see, you know, God just again and again, the image of God on earth in just the miraculous things that kids do as they grow up, or in, you know, what's now been a 20-year marriage, you know, through this or that or whatever else, just all these little glimpses of, you know, of the mystery and the goodness of creation and challenge, but always some level of resolve to get through it. And
thank you for that answer. I'm curious about your work. You said you're an engineer. What kind of an engineer?
So electrical engineer by training. I currently manage a staff of people in information technology. So people that install computer networks and install phones and yeah.
So there are a good many people that do that kind of work out there.
Yep.
Can you identify what difference faith makes for you in a very technical area of work?
In the technical area, I guess I've always kind of loved the fact that, and I'll quote this terribly wrong, but my recollection was that Albert Einstein said something along the effect that, you know, the deep discovery or the miraculous nature of the created world and how it all, it's kind of like that there still is this deeper and deeper mystery that technology does these amazing things. Science has led us to these amazing discoveries. Medicine has done these miraculous things. But yet it still doesn't fully explain us, that there is still kind of this deeper mystery that these things couldn't all completely happen by accident, that there is probably something that just kind of ties us all together. And so I've, you know, in the technical piece, I've always kind of hung on to that image that, you know, that the way all the mountains stacked up is probably not completely by accident. You know, that there is some divine beauty in nature. That the way that the earth forms itself, that plates bang into each other and create beautiful ridges, and something is part of some beautiful symphony somehow. More and more of my daily work is more in managing people directly and not as much technology. And so, you know, I think how I might approach that from my own faith perspective is, you know, it is really to just kind of remember and to empathize and to listen carefully and to not always judge, you know, sometimes to try, you know, if you have to speak hard truth, to try to do it somehow in love or in, you know, respect.
So tell me about a time when you felt called to do something that you would never have chosen to do for yourself.
Shouldn't be that hard to answer. Yeah, I guess. I'm trying to think of the examples.
Let me try a different question.
Yeah.
Tell me about a time when you were especially satisfied with what you had been doing.
Well, I think parenting is certainly a vehicle for that. Satisfaction and amazement and wonder all the time with the amazing things that my kids come up with and do. Brilliant musicians. I don't know where that came from. But
you seem to have a lot of surprises in your family.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's something else that, I mean, in a weird way, that I never would have chosen to do was preach. I was approached by one of the pastors in the church years ago. They pulled together about a dozen lay people and said that they thought we were people that might do well on an occasional Sunday to preach, and that they saw some opportunity in hearing lay voices from the pulpit, you know, speaking to their peers, sharing faith story, well, but also the gospel, right? I mean, because it wasn't supposed to just be about us. It's preaching the word, the law and the gospel. And surprised, I guess, to have kind of followed along with that. And there were about six of us that finished the program. And it's terrifying. And it's remarkably scary. It can be terrifying. It's an opportunity to make yourself vulnerable. Making yourself vulnerable is remarkably rewarding in the way that it just kind of opens the doors to different conversations. And it's always fascinating to see how you're approached afterwards. And some people love the notion of lay people occasionally preaching, and some people really don't like that notion. But I'm convinced, and certainly when I hear my peers do the same, is that when it's your peers in your midst, your friends and your family, people that don't wear clerical collars, you know, that sometimes you hear the story slightly differently, that it, you know, that you can tell your own story slightly differently, that they become somewhat of your story, and you know, they become kind of these more genuine faiths, well, I should say more genuine, they become, you know, very personal, very sincere faith stories that just open doors to a whole further other conversations that I wouldn't have imagined. And so haven't done it in a while. I probably preached six times in 1 year when we had a large number of vacations and pastoral outage. Our pastor was out for a bunch of months, and it was a remarkably, you know, every time was scary, every time was led to remarkable conversation. Every time I kind of questioned why in the world am I doing this and who am I to do these things. Every time I received great feedback, but I guess what was really fulfilling about it more than anything else was it really kind of stretched my understanding to say, you know, who am I not also to proclaim that message? You know, that, you know, well, why can't I? I mean, I'm not trained in the same way, nor is the same expectation on me. I'm just up on a Sunday. But who am I not to also kind of share that story and who I am? And, you know, in a, you know, you learn the hard way about being, you know, that you really have to be genuine to your story and you really have to be truthful because people will question your truth. And, but who am I not to share that story, to really kind of focus on, you know, what is it about a particular piece of scripture or a particular familiar story that, you know, resonates, that connects, that has meant things to you in the past, that is present for you now, all of those things. And that was a pretty remarkable experience.
Thank you so much for your time. You've enriched me in the telling of your stories, mm-hmm. and to hear someone that is that well connected, mm-hmm. you know, with your faith and your life, mm-hmm. and the intersection and how it's come about, mm-hmm. has been really fulfilling for me and helpful. So mm-hmm. thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure.